I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome in our friend from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Jason Mackey. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are we
morning,
doing?
Jay. We're good.
We're great. And by the way, follow us on Twitter. You can follow Jason as well, but follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorty Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills. You've been working double duty following the Pirates and covering some Penguins stuff. I don't know. This doesn't seem ideal in what the Penguins are doing, going with 11 forwards, 7 defensemen, but it seems like it may be lined out to do that again tonight against Colorado, Jay.
Yeah, it does. And I'm a little bit surprised, to be honest with you. They've got a guy, Stefan Nason, in Wilkes-Barre, who's got 4 goals already. You probably know him from the Devils. And I mean, not that, you know, he's the answer, but I'm just saying that there's solutions here and you know, with Jared McCann being day-to-day, and I mean, you know the way these things are. They could be very non-severe. He could be back in there tonight, but I mean, the way it looked at practice yesterday, and you got poor Juuso Riikola playing wing more often than he's playing defense, it looks like 11-7. And I know from the last time the way this thing went, from how Mike Sullivan feels about it, he doesn't like it. I don't think it helps get guys into the flow of the game. You know, with Jack Johnson, we've heard him talk previously about, you know, he likes to play more, and I understand that people don't necessarily want to see that. They probably want to see him play less, but it's just a difficult decision right now, and I'm not sure it gets any easier by going 11-7.
Well, doesn't the value of moving Jack Johnson's contract at this point, in so much as they'll get salary cap relief, they'll get an actual manageable number of defensemen on the blue line, doesn't that offset whether Jim Rutherford's actually getting what he considers fair return or not at this point?
Yeah, I don't think, and that's a good point, Chris, and I don't think Jim Rutherford's going to get the quote-unquote fair return, but if you're able to free up that space, not only for this year, but a couple years beyond, if I'm a Penguins fan, that's more than fair return for me, and this isn't a, you know, indictment of Jack Johnson or anything like that, but, you know, they like John Marino, he can play. They have Juuso Riikola, who does basically the same stuff, he can play. And by that token, you know, not that I'm trying to run Eric Gudbranson out of town either, but it also makes sense if you move Gudbranson. You have Marino, you can play him on his right side. I think you just need to kind of walk this awkward line for a little bit where, you know, I can't tell you that the return is terribly huge on Jack Johnson, no matter what it's going to be, but, I mean, you got to kind of figure out what you have at this point. And you'd like to believe that John Marino is an NHL player. Everything that I've seen would indicate that. I think you guys would probably agree with that. But try to live in awkwardness a little bit longer while you're looking at that return out there for those two defensemen they're dangling. And then, you know, once you feel good about it, make your move.
Well, then I think it's fair to revisit this in hindsight. Exactly how hard did Jim Rutherford try to trade Jack Johnson in the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I can't sit here and tell you that he didn't try to do it. Grading the veracity with which he went after it, I don't know. I can tell you this, that the one thing with Jack and that contract is it's tricky to move. And I guess I'm not breaking any news there, but I mean, you know, Jim has been interested. Jim has long been interested. It's just, you know, are we actively trying to do this? They could trade Jack Johnson right now, I believe, if they wanted to get absolutely nothing back. But I don't think they're there. And I think there are other, you know, factors that we need to take into consideration here. One is that they do like Jack Johnson as a player. I think a large part of their fan base would disagree with that. And two, it also balances out their pairs. They have a lefty to go with a righty if they keep Jack Johnson. And Mike Sullivan does value that.
Let's turn back to the dearth of forwards for just a minute, Jason, in that we've seen Sam Lafferty come up and make an impact, and that's wonderful. Johnson and Blandisi figured in on a couple this past weekend as well, but I guess next man up could be Agazino, could be somebody else from Wilkes-Barre. Have they considered at all, given the length of some of these absences for injury, particularly rust, Malkin. Sounds like Galchenyuk isn't any closer to being back. Either Pullen or Lagare coming back to from juniors for a stint.
No, I don't think those guys are realistic options at this point, at least based on, you know, stuff that I've seen and covered. You know, like Daniel Sprong would be somebody that pops into mind as like a previous case, and I was on the beat every day for his. And when you do that, when you send a guy to juniors to play, and the rules are kind of funky, you have to be a certain age or whatever. And I mean, a lot of times when you're making those decisions, those are guys you want to see play, you want to see develop, and those aren't guys who you want to throw in because you have to, because you're banged up and it's a difficult spot. You want to bring those guys up when they tell you they're ready to be brought up. And that's why you have guys like, you know, I mentioned at the beginning of this thing, Stefan Nason or Andrew Agazino, you know, guys where you can throw them into kind of a difficult situation where you might have to limit their minutes, or their minutes might be sporadic, or they're playing in an inopportune spot. And not that you don't care, but these guys have they are what they are at this point. And you still, I don't think you want to go nuclear in bringing one of those guys up. It's just not the right time. It's not the right situation, in my opinion.
Guys like, Tanev is now, you know, kind of forced himself into here, and he's somebody who's embedded here. But let's take guys like Johnson and Blandese and Lafferty, and even Zach Aston-Reese. Every time that they see a day go by and somebody doesn't walk in that door who was traded for a forward, do they say, well, look, this is my audition every single day, and maybe this is a positive for me that I could go out and gain some more trust within the big club?
Yeah, I think that's one way of looking at it, Colin. And I you know what, some of these guys, I really love the way they've come up and done this, first off, so I should preface it with that. But I don't know how much they're thinking about, and I mean that in a complimentary way. Like, I love Sam Lafferty's attitude. I love the way he's come up here and skate, and he acts like he belongs. But he doesn't act like a cocky, you know what. Like, he's just got confidence. He plays that certain way. He knows what his role is on this team and grasps it. Adam Johnson, too, Blantisi, they've played well together. They've fit, not that they have to do a bunch of this, but, you know, fit their game to what the Penguins want to do. Play responsible with the puck, use speed, realize what your job is as the fourth line, and they've done a good job. So, yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. You know, nobody else walking through that door, it's an opportunity to grab a hold of something, but I also think that the beauty of this is in its simplicity.
It feels like Sherry and Rust and those guys when they were up the first time.
It does. It does. And I don't know why that lagged last year and previous years, but and I wrote this in my 20 thoughts, whether it's Mike Folucci or something like that, these guys have come up here and just been absolutely ready to play, and it's been good to see.
Chris Letang said something interesting the other day. It sounded very Sullivan-like in the way he was talking about playing responsibly on the back end and taking care of things defensively and allowing offense to flow from there. And he's had a quality start to the season. Is Letang buying into Sully's style just because of the injuries? And do you think that's something we should expect this team, not just Letang, but the team as a whole, to continue to do once they're fully healthy again? Or does it feel like they're playing this way because they're filled with youngsters and filled with perhaps worry about what could happen if they do try to open it up?
I really need to see Chris Letang burst into a Boston accent. That'll completely gonna help us win. No, but seriously, I know the quote you're talking about, Chris, and yes, I do think Chris Letang's very much bought in, and I think that's a huge part of what the Penguins are doing. And that's not to say Letang wasn't bought in last year. I mean, you can say a lot of stuff about the guy, but his amount of buy-in, I'm not sure I'm going to go down that road. The dude cares, but he's playing a really good style of hockey right now. You know, obviously he's been one that has taken a few risks over the years. I think we can all agree on that, and he's tamped it down a little bit, and it's kind of the stuff that they've been wanting him to do. That message has gotten a little bit misconstrued, but he's fit very well within their team concept. And, you know, I think it was something to the tune of, if we concentrate on details defensively and simplify our game, then the offense is going to come. We have enough guys who can score, and he's right. You know, the talent that they still have in that lineup, they're going to be able to score, but they've done a really good job with the puck. They've done a really good job supporting. That's not something they've done particularly well forward, supporting the defense, but you're seeing it now, and they're listening to Sullivan, especially Chris Letang.
Well, it's also interesting because his first game or two of this season were not the prettiest turnover-wise, and because He was the guy that last spring fought back against that idea of him changing his game at all. I'm sure you remember that.
Yeah.
Since you asked the question that set him off.
I think I remember that one. But in Chris Letang's defense, they all stunk. You know, I'm not sure you can look at opening night and say anybody was worth anything. I mean, that's just, it was, to me, at this point, an aberration. You know, I was even, you know, sort of formulating things for yesterday's column and thinking back to that top line of what Patrick Hornquist looked like. I mean, he looked slow, it looked disjointed or whatever, and I just don't think we can make an assertion on Letang, on that top line, on the Penguins as a whole. I don't know why opening night was so bad, but it just was. And, you know, these past few, and I know we're operating within a small sample size, but they've really, they've pulled themselves together here nicely, and I give a lot of credit. I mean, Letang deserves credit. Crosby deserves credit. Mike Sullivan deserves credit for how much they've changed.
Last thing for you. Have we graduated now, and I know it's early, but have we graduated from Carolina being a bunch of jerks that just like to have fun and went on a nice little run to them maybe being a pretty good hockey team?
I mean, I think they were a pretty good hockey team last year. They might still be a bunch of jerks or what, you know, I don't know. I don't like that Don Cherry stuff to begin with. They should be allowed to do what they want to do. But, I mean, this was a nice hockey club for a couple years, and they've done a real good job. And, I mean, if I look at the Metropolitan Division of the Eastern Conference, I absolutely take Carolina seriously.
All right. We take you seriously. That's why we have you on.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yes, because you're a very serious guy all the time. Real quick, anything on the Pirates managerial search, or what we read is what the news is?
They're bringing in people for interviews this week. Sam Fold is not going to be one of them. He does not want to interview for a few jobs. They got a couple guys they're looking at. Christensen, Kotze, Derek Shelton. I'm probably Bannister, obviously. Probably leaving some people out. As I understand it, neither Kendall nor Wehner are among this round of interviews. Not to say that that's final, but they're sort of, it's picking up a little bit, but it's tough to crack Fort Knox there.
Jason Mackey, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Jason, we thank you so very much.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Jay. You too.
Yes, Adam Berry coming up to talk a little baseball.
Sets the table for our discussion with Adam.
Yeah, about the managerial search, also the championship series and just baseball in total. I do want to ask Adam, too, about if baseball plans to do anything with the home run binge. You know, if they're going to make a vested interest in tamping it down this offseason, whether it's through science or, I mean, that would really be the only
way. It was interesting that there were a couple of balls hit last night, and it's undoubtedly because it's now October rather than the middle of July. A couple of balls hit last night that died at the warning track that came off the bat, and you went, oh, man, that's a Yankee Stadium homer.
Yeah.
And then on both sides ended up dying at the track.
Absolutely. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.